Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in The Union Edge. Join us right now, Barry Craig of the Kentucky Labor Institute and the Western Kentucky Area AFL-CIO. Barry, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Barry, it's always a pleasure. Now, y'all down in Kentucky have some things going on. You got some wildcats running around saying, oh, right to work, right to work, right to work. And as soon as the lawsuits fly, they're out of town, aren't they?
Yes. And I think, Charles, that these lawsuits have had a real chilling effect, like the weather, on these county physical courts. I've been doing some calling around today down here in western Kentucky where I live, and a right-to-work ordinance is not on the horizon anywhere that we can see. So we're confident that this lawsuit, which has been filed in federal court, will stop this once and for all. But I think in the interim, a couple of things. I think Attorney General Jack Conway's advisory opinion that these local right-to-work ordinances are unconstitutional has slowed the drive down tremendously. And I also think that the idea of the possibility that these magistrates and county commissioners may have to pay for this out of their own pocket is sinking in. This right-wing anti-union Florida group has said they'll pick up the tab, but, you know, Charles, a talk is cheap. So we will see.
Yeah, checks in the mail, Barry. Checks in
exactly.
The mail.
Exactly, your checks in the mail. That's it.
Barry, now let me ask you this. And you're saying that not the county, not the taxpayers, but actually the elected officials in each one of these county seats may be paying for this out of their own pocket?
I'm not sure about that, Charles, but I do know if you're being sued as a fiscal court and you're on the fiscal court, someone's got to pay for it. I would assume that would be the taxpayers. I'm not sure about personal liability, but in any event, somebody's going to pay.
And if somebody's going to pay. I have a feeling it's the taxpayers.
And if it is the taxpayers, taxpayers tend to get riled when politicians waste their tax money and their time doing this. And you know, Charles, these fiscal courts, there are other things they could be looking into. For example, pothole repair, improving 9/11 service to the outlying communities, fire protection, sewers, you name it. Rather than going on this is basically, it's all politics.
Mm-hmm.
They're frustrated. The Republicans ran hard on right to work last fall. They promised if they could flip the Kentucky House of Representatives, they would pass a right to work law from Paducah to Pikeville and all points in between. A whole bunch of these Republican candidates ran on right to work. They gave speeches about it. It was in their campaign flyers. They did television commercials, radio commercials. The public knew. Elect a Republican House, you get right to work. Well, guess what? We didn't do that. The Democrats went into this election with a 54-46 edge in the House and came out with the same thing. So having failed that, now they try this county right to work ordinance. It's going to blow up in their face. It's not a question of if the courts throw this out. It's only a question of when.
Barry, you know, I got to tell you, and I'm not sure about the logistics on this, or if it's actually legal. But I would tell you that if my county seat decided that they were going to do this, and after being advised by the Attorney General for the state of Pennsylvania,
right,
or the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania,
right,
I think I would individually sue those representatives who put that forward.
I understand, and it's obvious. But again, I think we've got 120 counties in Kentucky, and only about five or six have actually passed these laws, and maybe two or three more are considering it. So it's a tiny, tiny minority of counties that are doing this. So stay tuned. It'll pretty soon it'll get pushed off the news pages, and the big news is going to be our governor's race that's coming up here. And I'm pleased to say that on the Democratic side, Jack Conway, our Attorney General, is pretty much a shoo-in to run. Our primary is May the 19th. The filing deadline has passed. His only opposition is a guy named Jeff Young of Lexington. I'm sure Mr. Young's a nice guy, but he's totally unknown. And so it looks like we're going to get this guy in. His running mate is State Representative Sandy Overly. She's the House Majority Caucus Chair. And as you know, Jack Conway received the Kentucky State AFL-CIO endorsement before the filing deadline, and several unions endorsed him before that. This guy is solid in labor. Gosh, I go back to 2009 when I was still teaching the Kentucky Community Technical College System. Board of Regents decided to not grant tenure rights to new hires. Our union protested, American Federation of Teachers, and he issued an advisory opinion that they couldn't do this. And guess what? They backed off. And then, you know, we've talked about this before. A few minutes ago, this Attorney General's opinion that these county right-to-work ordinances are unconstitutional. He also, Charles, issued an opinion supporting the legality of binding arbitration for contracts negotiated with Louisville's Metropolitan Sewer District. Now, Laborers Local 576 had been struggling to achieve this goal for almost 3 years. So, looks like that Jack Conway is going to have pretty smooth sailing into the general election, which is November 3rd. Now, the Republicans... Food fight. Just think of the scene at the House with the great and late the minute John Belushi. We all remember that. Guess who jumped in at the last minute?
Mitch McConnell.
Well, close. The guy that Mitch McConnell beat, Matt Bevin. Matt Bevin has jumped in. The Tea Party darling, the Louisville business owner, he has jumped in at the last minute to make it a foursome in this, and of course, as you know, he lost in a rather bruising primary battle to Mitch McConnell last time. Other Republicans in the running is James Comer of Tompkinsville. By the way, Bevin is from Louisville. He's the Ag Commissioner, as I said, and he is in the running, as is Hal Heiner of Louisville. And then to round out the Republican field is a former State Supreme Court Justice, Will T. Scott, of Pikeville. Now, all four of these folks are in the anti-union camp. All four support a right-to-work law. All four would be very bad for unions.
Barry, it's always amazing to me that people will brag that they want to put less cops, firemen, and paramedics on the street. Right. They want to put more potholes in the street. They want to put more kids into the classroom and have less teachers all across the spectrum.
Indeed, but Charles, they're single-minded about it. It's their obsession. It's just the most amazing thing. Well, and as I said, they lost. They lost last November. The issue could not have been plainer. They can't say that nobody knew about right to work. Everybody knew about right to work.
But Barry, we don't allow people to harm themselves and harm others. Okay, do they need an evaluation?
Charles, I don't know. That they're obsessed with this. Of course, as you know, the Republican Party has been going farther and farther to the right. I was watching on television. I'm sure you did too. That crazy gathering in Iowa with this Steve King, the real nut job of Chris Matthews, I really like his show on MSNBC, calls him the clown car. Well, there's actually a clown bus in Kentucky, and it's the Kentucky Republican Party. We had a senator many years ago, John Sherman Cooper, a Republican who was a moderate to liberal Republican. He would be spinning his grave over what's happened to the party in Kentucky. The Republican Party has two right wings, one extreme and one extremer. And that's what we're dealing with. So they're going to ride this horse, I guess, till it drops. But you can bet right to work is going to be the big issue this fall in this election with these Republicans. They're going to keep pushing it. And what can we say other than that's what they're going to do?
Yeah, they're going to keep on pushing it. Listen, Barry, it's always a pleasure. We got to get going. We're up against a hard break. But in the meantime, stick with it, and we appreciate what you're doing, okay?
Sure.
Barry Craig of the Kentucky Labor Institute and the Western Kentucky AFL-CIO. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother.
Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important, especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size to make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Hop in, dear.
Thank you.
For more information, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the 5 signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. On the line with us today, Doug Cunningham of Workers Independent News. Doug, welcome back.
Hey, Charles. Great day. Great day.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Now, first off, I got to ask you, have you guys gotten temperatures north of like minus 20 degrees below zero or something like that?
Yeah, we actually, I mean, while the East Coast was getting pounded and hammered, we were actually, you know, decent weather for Wisconsin, about 20 degrees, you know, and not huge amounts of snow coming down. So,
man, that's balmy.
Yeah, yeah, balmy. We're running around in, you know, swimsuits out here.
Yeah.
But that was something else to see it. And then to see all the hysteria on cable news networks about all that, what, that big, huge coming storm, and then it just kind of missed New York, or just at least didn't hit New York as hard. And it went on up to Boston, you know, but.
Yeah, and I got to say this, and we all know those people, you know, in the big yellow trucks with the you know, the yellow lights and the plow in the front and the salt spreader in the back. God bless each and every one of them, okay? God bless each and every one of them for keeping us safe out there, and they do a great job. And for anybody who is concerned that public officials overstated the obvious or whatever, or they erred on public safety, that erred on being careful and protecting the public, you know what? That's the right thing to do.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Sorry, for sure. I mean, I know it's a cliche, but it's absolutely true in something like this.
Absolutely. Sure. Hey, Doug, what's going on?
Well, I wanted to talk about a little bit about the Blue-Green Alliance and what they did yesterday. There was this press conference yesterday that they did on the phone, and it was the Sierra Club, and it was you know, the United Steelworkers, it was the Communications Workers of America and others, and they were talking about this fast-track proposal, this trade proposal, and what it has done. And this is the Blue-Green Alliance is environmental groups and labor organizations that have come together in a coalition to address issues that are common to both. And the Blue-Green Alliance says flat out that this trade deal, this Trans-Pacific Partnership, is a jobs killer. It's going to be just a recipe for disaster if Congress gives the president that fast-track authority. And so we had people like the executive director of the Blue-Green Alliance speaking out. We had Leo Girard, the president of the United Steelworkers, God bless him, who was talking about how, for them, for the steelworkers, this is about the life and death of jobs and the ability of workers to really earn a decent income. And he pointed out in one of the sound bites I used in Workers Independent News about how they always are dealing at the bargaining table with employers that say, you got to meet the Chinese price or the Korean price. We're in a global market now and everything, you know. And so he says that this is just, it's getting down to the point where they're very frustrated. Because the United Steelworkers, because they've tried, you know, to say the least. I mean, they've tried to work with the administration on this, and the administration is still pushing this deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible. And Larry Cohen, the president of the CWA, had, a salient point to make when he said that basically Obama is about to unite with Republicans to pass Boehner trade.
Yeah, and you know, Doug, here's one of the things I want to toss out there. God bless the United Steelworkers and their efforts to stop dumping here in the United States. They've saved countless lives. And when I say that, I'm talking about the Chinese tires that got dumped here in the United States. People were dying because those tires were bad. We have had people and pets in this country get sick and die from melamine that was in food products, okay? It also happened in Japan. God bless the United Steelworkers from stopping the Chinese and others from dumping stuff here in the United States. And I got to say this, you know, you were just talking about business owners saying, oh, well, you workers need to, you know, understand that you have to do it at the price level of the Chinese, okay? They're talking about wages. The comeback to that is, okay, fine. Then you have to deal with profits like the Chinese, okay? You don't get American-sized profits. You don't get multi-billionaires giving up. They demand that the employees give up. And they say, oh, look at the Chinese. They're doing a better job. No, they're not. But that's another story. So, look, you want to pay us Chinese wages, then you take Chinese profits.
There you go. I mean, and, you know, the president, the federal, not the president, but the federal campaign director for the Sierra Club, Debbie Cease, put it very succinctly. She said, there are many reasons to oppose the Trans-Pacific Partnership fast track, shipping our jobs overseas, dumping our wages along the way, bringing unsafe food to our dinner tables, and selling out our clean air and our clean water for corporate profits. And, you know, labor unions and organizations and some environmental groups as well have been sounding this alarm over these trade deals for years, and yet we've still got them. We had NAFTA, we've got the Korean agreement and others, and we have the special trade arrangement with China, and now we have the TPP. And they seem to be on an inexorable march toward these trade deals, and it's because big business corporations are behind it because they profit on this. Working people on both sides of this deal get hurt, but corporations profit.
That's exactly it, Doug. That's exactly it. They say, workers, you got to take it in the shorts. You got to take the haircut. But that's okay. I'm the owner, so I don't have to take a haircut. Get real. You know, and I'm going to say this, and I know I'm going to piss off some people, and I don't care. Here's the deal. I'm an American. I buy American when and where I can because I support this country. If you can't do the same, move to that country. Just saying. Doug?
Well, Yeah, I mean, we got to support our own jobs, and we got to support workers, and workers everywhere. And that point that I made about it being bad for both sides of the equation, for workers on both sides of these deals, that's critical, because we could unite with workers on the other side in these other countries, and we have, and labor unions have, and tried to advance the workers' interests in all of this, and that's where it's really at. And I know that some people looking for entertainment might not want us to talk about all these issues so many times and so often the way we do, because, you know, let's face it, it's not exactly entertaining necessarily to talk about this, but it's important. It's vital, because it's not only your family's future and your family's welfare, your ability to have a house, to have a decent education, a decent retirement, but it's your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, you know, and American people going forward. Mark Demenstein told me the other day, yesterday I interviewed him, and he told me that 200,000 jobs have been lost in the Postal Service over the last 10 years. That's what's happening. They're inexorably stripping away these jobs that are really good, family-supporting jobs, and replacing them with junk jobs. And trade deals are one of the biggest causes of that. Some 5 million jobs have been lost so far by trade deals in the United States. And so it's a very important issue. It's right before Congress now, very soon. Trade negotiators were actually negotiating in New York City. So people need to be aware of this, and you need to care about this, and you need to speak out about this and raise our voices about this if you care about not only your future and your family, but your grandchildren and the rest of the country as we go forward as a nation.
Absolutely. Doug, I want to thank you very much for being with us today. It was Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
Just months after being elected to a second term, Florida Governor Rick Scott is embroiled in a controversy surrounding his handling of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. A nonpartisan watchdog group, Integrity Florida, is asking for an investigation, claiming Scott improperly used the FDLE to do some political dirty work. Integrity Florida's executive director, Dan Krausner, explains why the governor and his advisors are being accused of federal civil rights violations.
A former Florida Department of Law Enforcement Commissioner, Gerald Bailey, alleged that Governor Rick Scott and his top advisors conspired to falsely name Colleen Riley, who was then acting clerk of court in Orange County, the target of a criminal inquiry.
Riley had been in the spotlight after two prison inmates escaped in 2013 with forged papers allegedly from her office. Governor Scott responded absolutely not when asked if his office had conspired to make Riley look bad and has denied any wrongdoing. Allegations of improper oversight of the state policing agency surfaced after the FDLE's longtime commissioner Gerald Bailey was ousted last month. Bailey has publicly called Scott a liar and says his December resignation wasn't voluntary but political retribution for refusing to help fundraise for the governor's reelection campaign last year. The Florida Constitution requires an FDLE commissioner's removal to be approved by the entire state cabinet, but Krausner says Scott acted on his own.
A political agenda should never interfere with the authority and responsibility of FDLE to protect and serve the public trust. And Floridians deserve answers about whether Governor Scott and his top aides attempted to abuse the authority of FDLE.
The state attorney's office says it sees no need for a state-level investigation, but Krausner says that does not rule out a federal probe. I'm Phil Latzman, Florida News Connection.
You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. For more information about the show, go to theunionedge.com.
Hello, I'm Mark Belanger from Radio Labor, reporting for the Union Edge. An increase in the number of unions in Bangladesh since the Rana Plaza disaster is dramatically extending the extent of collective bargaining in the country. In the latest development, garment workers at 5 factories owned by the East-West Industrial Park Group have signed contracts. The contract provisions include wage hikes, increases in food allowance, and improvements in canteen facilities. They also allow for more contact with the workers by union representatives. The 5 local unions are affiliated to the Bangladesh Independent Garment Workers Union Federation. The unions were helped through the negotiations for recognition and a collective agreement by the Solidarity Center of the AFL-CIO. The AFL-CIO is the largest labor federation in the United States. The International Labor Organization, the ILO, has released a global employment study which shows that the job situation in developing countries is getting worse. Eckhard Ernst is a senior economist with the ILO.
The world economy is entering a new, more turbulent period. Unemployment will continue to rise, inequality will increase, and investment will remain weak and uncertain. About 61 million jobs have been lost since the start of the global financial crisis in 2008. While there are now more jobs in advanced economies, the employment situation is deteriorating in many emerging and developing countries. It is estimated that within the next 5 years, more than 212 million people will be out of work around the world, 11 million more unemployed than today. And worldwide, 13% of young people are unemployed, which is contributing to the rise in social unrest. Income inequality is widening. The richest 10% are earning 30 to 40% of the total income available. The poorest 10% will earn just 2 to 7% of total income. As more jobs once performed by relatively educated workers become automated and digitalized, those workers are increasingly forced to compete for low-skilled occupations. There are ways to change the picture. Stimulating faster wage growth and reducing uncertainty will lead to increased investment and demand for new jobs. Labor market reforms will give businesses a chance to be more productive and an incentive to invest more in the future. Providing protection to workers and updating their skills to reflect the changes in the job market, especially those in vulnerable employment and poverty. If these measures are put in place, the global jobs outlook can be improved significantly.
Two unions in Ireland and the United States have signed an historic agreement on job training. In the first arrangement of its kind, the Irish Technical Engineering and Electrical Union is working with the United Association of Journeymen and Apprentices in the U.S. to provide training to workers. Under the new agreement, the Irish Union will bring American trainers to Ireland to teach in a Train the Trainers program. The agreement was signed at the Irish Embassy in Washington and witnessed by the head of the AFL-CIO, Richard Trumka. Increasingly, women working as domestic workers and caregivers are organizing themselves into self-help groups and unions. Radio Labor's senior correspondent, Seemari Ainsborough, has a report about a new group recently established in Lahore, Pakistan.
Women in Pakistan have formed a new organization to help domestic and agricultural workers. Called the Working Women's Forum, the organization brings together women working in brick factories, domestic help, caregiving, and farm work. The initiative was created in collaboration with the Gender Equality Program of the U.S. AID Program. The main objective of the group is to teach women workers in Pakistan about their rights and to push for new legislation, especially legislation aimed at helping domestic workers. Other demands include membership for home-based workers in the National Health Insurance Program, reformation of labor law to include domestic workers, and ratification of ILO conventions related to the informal work sector. This is Seemari Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labor.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.